الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about your chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, those of you who are attending this particular class, don't forget to have with you your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners to our class, our new students to our class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic is love. Love from the Islamic standpoint, and that's L-O-V-E, the love that some of us are familiar with, and it's all types of love. You can love things, or you can love an individual, that kind of thing, but I want to kind of give you an understanding of what it means to love with an Islamic context. And it's not limited to this at all. I'm just kind of just giving you the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the area of love and in terms of Islam. It was narrated by Abu Abbas that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Love Allah for what he nourished you with of his blessings. Love me due to the love of Allah, and love the people of my house due to love of me." And we are supposed to love the people in the Prophet's house, his daughter, his wife, and the children, and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, these are the things that we're supposed to, these are things that we're supposed to do. And, of course, we're supposed to love Allah. Allah is Almighty God. Allah is the one that what? He created all that we see and all that we don't see. And we have to show our love for our Lord, which is Allah. And sometimes we do love things. I love our car, our home, our family, having money in the bank, that those kind of things. So we have a lot of love for that. And sometimes maybe overwhelmed by loving this thing, or overwhelmed with this thing by loving it so much, overwhelmed with doing what we have to do in order to keep it. Okay, some things I understand, and some things it may be the extreme in terms of trying to have accumulate all this money is not enough for you. If you have one mountain of gold, you want a second mountain of gold. You have a mountain of silver or money or anything like that, that's not enough. You need a second mountain of silver or money. And you fall more and more in love and be possessed by it. But I want to kind of give you an understanding of what love is in Islam and the importance of love in Islam. Also narrated by Abu Huraira, he was one of the Prophet's companions, like the earlier one I mentioned, Ibn Abbas. The Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, "If Allah loves a person, he calls Jibril, saying, 'Allah loves so and so. Oh Jibril, love him.' Jibril, Gabriel, sometimes people call him, would love him and make an announcement amongst the inhabitants of the heaven. 'Allah loves so and so. Therefore, you should love so and so also.' And so all the inhabitants of heaven would love him. And then he is granted the pleasure of the people on the earth. And I'll get more to that a little later on. Allah loves this individual over here. Allah, out of all the billions of people in the world, I love this individual. Jibril, I love this individual. And then Jibril is commanded to also love this individual. And Jibril tells those people, not people, the ones, inhabitants, the other angels in the paradise, he said, in the heaven, he said, Allah loves so-and-so. I love so-and-so. You should love so-and-so. Allah loves so-and-so. You should love so-and-so. And so the people of heaven, they also love that individual, so-and-so, male and female, whomever it may be. I'm going to move on because this is kind of a lengthy subject. Also, when you're talking about love, L-O-V-E, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, anyone or everyone will be with those whom he loves. And so what do I mean by that? Some other hadith are saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, it sort of clarifies this a little bit more for me and also for you. Because a man by the name of Abu Dar said, I asked, Messenger of Allah, what if a man loves the people but cannot join them? He replied, Abu Dar, you are with the one you love. I said, meaning Abu Dar, I love Allah and his messenger. He said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, Abu Dar, you are with the one you love. So he can't be with individuals, whatever reason, he can't be with this group of people or this person. I can't be with them. Maybe you don't want to be with them because they may take him in the wrong direction or the wrong path, or they won't let him in, or whatever the case was, and that's not very important. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he sort of straightened him out and guided him. And he told him what? The man, he said, Abu Dar, you know, he said, you are with the one you love. And he said what? He clarified, look, Muhammad, I love Allah and I love his messenger, meaning I love you. And so then the Prophet Muhammad said to Abu Dar, you are with the one you love. So I also want to say here to my in front of my students, and that I love Allah and I love his messenger, and I want to be with Allah and I want to be with his messenger. I'm going to go further later on and talk about others that is encouraged for us to love. And so that's what I want to do, and you all bear witness that I said that yes, I love Allah, I love his messenger, I want to be with them. I want them to be my company in the paradise. And first, I just want to get to paradise, which I talked a little bit about that before. So when you're talking about everyone will be with the one whom he loves in the first hadith, and then the second one clears it up a little bit. I love Allah and I love his messenger. And then he said to Abu Dar, he said, you are with the one you love. And so I want to be with Allah, and I want you also to be with Allah and love Allah and love the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him, and that we are all with him. Also, one of the prophet's companions also said, it was said that the prophet, a man may love some people, but he cannot catch up with their good deeds. The prophet said, everyone will be with those whom he loves. I may love a person, love the deeds that they just outdeed me, if you will. That's my saying, not anyone else's saying. They may do more deeds, more good deeds than myself. Like Abu Bakr and also Umar, these are two companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon them. They was almost in a competition for doing good. I know the Prophet Muhammad, but he said to the people, look, we're getting ready to do something, or we're getting ready to go into battle against these other people. And the only time someone went in the battle and went after them, that's when they defended themselves. It's just a natural thing. You don't stand and let someone beat you up. That doesn't make any sense. Because they're going to beat you up. Then they're going to beat your family up. Then they're going to beat your village up. Then they're going to beat your nation up. No, it doesn't make any sense. And so the same thing with the Muslims and with Islam. It didn't make any sense to us that we don't go out looking for trouble. Trouble seems to come our way. And then by the will of Allah and with the guidance of Allah, protection of Allah and the help of Allah, we protect ourselves from those who want to harm us. And so getting back to what I was talking about is that when the prophet was getting ready to go to war, is that he said to people, he said, what do you have towards this war effort? And so Umar, he said, look, I'm going to give half of what I have towards the war effort. And then Abu Bakr said, he said, look, I'm giving all that I have towards the war effort. And so it was hard for Umar in this case anyway to catch up with Abu Bakr and the good deeds that he did. There's another occasion where Umar was going to help this lady, a blind lady. He wanted to cook her food, clean her house, and clean her clothes and the like. But every time he went there, it was already taken care of. So he went there early one day, and he found out who was taking care of this. They were doing this good deed towards this lady. It was none other than the first Khalifa of the Muslim, the second leader of the Muslim at the death of the Prophet Muhammad, the peace be upon him. It was not under Abu Bakr. He was the one, no one else basically knew about this. It was secrecy. I hopefully I'll be able to say that. And that he went and early went to the lady's house. He cleaned this blind lady's house. He cooked the food, washed her clothes, whatever she needed done, this old lady, because she had no one else to do it for her. And so again, you have a case where he couldn't catch up with this man's deeds, but he loved this man. He loved Abu Bakr. And he loved the Prophet Muhammad, and that's Umar. And so again, you will be with the one, everyone will be with the one whom he loves. You may not be able to catch up with their deeds at all, but you love this individual, and everyone will be with those whom he loves. A man asked the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, about the hour, meaning the day of judgment, saying, when will the hour be? The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, what have you prepared for it? The man said, nothing, except that I love Allah and his apostle. The Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, you will be with those whom you love. We had never been so glad as we were on hearing that saying of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, meaning you will be with those whom you love. Therefore, I love the Prophet, I love Abu Bakr, I love Umar, and I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not similar to theirs. This is a very, very, very beautiful hadith or saying. Of this, a narration from Anas about what this man said to the Prophet, and he asked, he said, "What have you prepared for the hour?" And he said, "Oh, you know, when will be the hour, and what will you prepare for the hour?" He said, "Well, I prepared nothing, but I love Allah and I love the Apostle, and you will be with those you love." And so he started making the list of, "Well, I not only love you two, I not only love Allah. I not only love the Prophet, meaning you, I love Abu Bakr, I love Umar, and inshallah, he wants to be with the ones that he loves, not the ones that he does not love. And again, I too, and I pray that those who are listening to me, my students, that you also want to be with Allah, you want to be with the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, with Abu Bakr, with Umar. Those are the ones that you want to be with. Read about them. Study about them. Don't just study what I'm teaching you in class for the last whatever amount of time we've been doing this, but learn some of this on your own. It's okay. The information in the books are available to you, and they're very available to you, I'm going to assume, in your language. I don't know what language that you speak, but it's available. And since you understand my episodes, my program, perhaps you read and understand English and comprehend English. And so you open up some English books and learn more about Abu Bakr and what he did, and about Umar and what he did, which I mentioned a couple of things earlier about their competition and what they did, about Prophet Muhammad and what he did, and of course, above all, is Allah. and that we worship Allah, and that you want to have this love for Allah. You may love your whoever you love in your life, but you are not to love them above Allah and his prophet, and peace and blessings be upon him. There was one time, there was a case when one of the companions had mentioned about loving himself. And the prophet corrected him. And he said to him that you love me even more than, and you know, Allah myself, more than even love Allah and the prophet, and peace be upon him, even more than you love yourself. And so this is just where it is in terms of love. This love is muwatta. It's very, very important. Of course, between a husband and wife, the kind of love we have between myself, my wife, whatever, my wife and myself, and our children, and that kind of thing. Okay, you're going to have a kind of love there. But it's not the same kind of love that you have for Allah and for Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him. And I want to be with those whom I love, which are the two that I mentioned, also Abu Bakr and also Umar. It is also narrated that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah loves to meet him. And whoever dislikes meeting Allah, then Allah dislikes meeting him. And whoever loves Allah, they love Allah. And they love to meet Allah. And also Allah loves to meet that individual. And anyone that hates Allah, dislikes Allah, meeting Allah, then Allah dislikes meeting him too. It's a mutual thing. I'd be happy to meet Allah. I'm glad to meet Allah. I love to meet Allah. I pray that Allah is pleased with me as I've been pleased with Allah and what he provided for me, and all the things that he's provided for me. And there, for the good things that he presented to me, provided for me, and helped me work through any bad things that happened in my life, and made it easy for me. Me being patient, whatever going on, calamity that take place in my life, and that Allah Ta'ala helped me to sail through it and get to the other side. Whatever you're going through right now, you're going through it right now. It may be a test for you. But be patient and pray to Allah, and eventually it'll end and you get to the other side of the good side of things. Just have patience and believe in Allah. Keep praying to Allah. Get up at night when everyone is asleep, what they call tahajjud, and you pray to Allah and you ask Allah for guidance and for help and to have mercy on you. Whatever you want, that's between you and Allah. Because Allah, he comes to the lower heavens in the early morning, where everyone else is asleep, you're up by yourself, and he said to those around him, he says, who's up and who's asking of me, I would give to him, or I would give to her. So who does not want to give that? Make that investment in your life, not your finances, anything like that, or getting a car or money, anything like that, or get a fat bank account. No, you make an investment in your life by asking Allah, who controls everything. Oh Allah, please forgive me for my shortcomings. Oh Allah, help me through whatever I'm going through. I've done that many a times. When I was going through some things, and I went to Allah and asked Allah to help and guidance, and I just left it alone. I said, Ya Allah, it's in your hands. I depend on you. I rely on you. And whatever outcome, okay, this is written for me. I can't do anything about it. And so that's the same thing that we do. We rely on Allah and depend on Allah. Allah will help you through. I know I'm kind of going off of the particular subject, but I just wanted to mention to anyone right now, and just take out time for you. That's what I'm doing right now. Taking time out for you and trying to help you to get through whatever you're going through right now. And that Allah is there, and Allah is aware of what you're going through. You're not going through it alone, and you're not the only one to know about it, because Allah knows about it, and perhaps Allah will give you help with whatever situation you're going through. And you never know when the help of Allah is going to come through. You never know how Allah is going to solve your problem in a way that you could never imagine. You may want it done in one way, but Allah has another plan for you to get whatever you're going through right now. right now, this moment, whatever it is you're going through. I don't care who you are, rich, poor. I don't care who you are. I don't care the color of your skin, your nationality. I don't care about that kind of thing. I just know right now you have a problem and you need help and you need to know what to do with it. Take it to Allah at any time. Take it to Allah. Allah is open 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Allah is available to the people, answering their prayers, listening to them. That's Allah. He said, ask of him. Seek help from him. So this is what we do. Allah want us to do this. So let me move on, my beautiful students. It is also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, by the one whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, none of you has believed until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So we are encouraged as Muslims to love our brothers, of course, and our sisters, what we love for ourselves. I want to have a certain amount of money. I want my brother to have a certain amount of money. I want to know a certain amount of the Quran, have understanding of Quran. I want my brother also to have a certain understanding of Quran. I do not want to go to the hellfire. I don't want my brother to go to the hellfire. I want to go to paradise. I want my brother to also to go to paradise. I don't say I want in, but close the door after I get in. No, I don't want that. I want to keep that door open for others to come through, whatever way I can help them to come through. And I hope that those before me, or those brothers or sisters before me, they want the same thing for me, that they want for me what they want for themselves. Any goodness that they want for themselves, they also want it from me. Because they love for their brother what they love for themselves. Also, it is mentioned, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother or him, or, he said, for his neighbor, what he loves for himself. So it's not just your household, it's also your neighbor. You want to have good relationship with your neighbor. I think I did an episode about neighbors and taking care of neighbors. And if not, then this is something that the Muslims are supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of our neighbors as much as possible. And not harass our neighbors or take our neighbor's property over anything like that, and look at the neighborly needs. This is what we're supposed to do. And so we want for our neighbors to, or what we want for ourselves. It's also mentioned by one of the Prophet's companions. He said, a man was with the Prophet, may peace be upon him, and a man passed by him and said, Messenger of Allah, I love this man. And it's not in a bad way, love this man. Just, I love this man. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, then asked, have you informed him? He replied, no. He said, inform him. He then went to him and said, I love you for the sake of Allah. He replied, may he for whom sake you love me, love you. This is such a beautiful, beautiful thing that they exchange to each other. Yeah, this brother said, I love you. I love you for the sake of Allah. I've said that to brothers and they said it to me. So we be clear, it's not anything other kind of love going on. It's just, I love you for the sake of Allah. This is how I feel. I want for you what I want for myself. If you hurt, I hurt. Because we're like one body. Is one part of the body hurts or in pain or anything like that, or injured or wounded, then all the body is aching from it. You're my brother. And any way I can help you, I will help you. Any way I can cover your faults, then I will cover your faults in this life. And perhaps Allah will cover my faults in the next life. I want to get into a lot of different other things outside of what we're talking about, a particular subject we're talking about. But sometimes I have to go there and talk about us loving one another and doing for one another, and wanting for your brother what you want for you, wanting for yourself. And also looking at the either and cover these other faults. If you've done something, okay, I tried my best to cover your faults. And then inshallah, Allah will also cover my faults on the day of judgment. that when I'm before Allah and he sort of put this kind of shield or whatever around me and he asked me various questions. And then he said, look, I'm going to shield you from the rest of the people knowing that I know you did so-and-so. I know you did it. I can show you where you did so-and-so. Or you lied on such and such a date. Or you took such and such a thing. Or you did such and such a thing that I didn't like and go against the Sharia. The rules and regulations of Islam and the laws of Islam, you went against it. I know about this thing. But I'm going to cover, I'm going to forgive you, but that's all in the hands of Allah. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, said, there is nothing like marriage for two who love one another. This is so important, particularly nowadays. A lot of people don't want to get married. I'm going to have to go off for just a little bit on this because getting married is part of, for Islam, it's part of our deen, it's part of our way, it's part of our religion, getting married. We can have sex with a person, with another person, with a woman or a man. We can't do that unless we're married to that individual. And when you're talking about, I'm talking about a man with original parts being married to a woman with original parts. And being married to each other, not other things that people have come up with nowadays. And so we're supposed to be married to each other. And people kind of like they like kind of brush away from or move away from marriage for whatever reason. They could do everything else but not get married. They could have with a woman, for example. They could have a man could live with a woman for years. They could have all kinds of children, 5 children, 3 children, but never married to each other. And Islamically, this is not correct because they are fornicating and they're having illegal sex, or they may devoted to each other and the like, and share the money and share the home, all the things they share. They just don't have that piece of paper between them. Because they think, so some reason, Shaitan put in their mind that piece of paper is going to change them. But the thing is, that's not important. What is important, and it may not even happen at all, a little piece of paper. The thing is that you're right with Allah. That you legally can have sex with that individual and legally be with that individual because you are married to that individual. You are married to the individual wherever way you get married, and your custom or Islamically, then you're married to that individual. And so the thing in the Prophet Muhammad, he said, there's nothing like marriage for two people who love one another. So I'm also encouraging you all out there to get married. Girlfriend and boyfriend is not allowed in Islam. Not any kind of level, and not any kind of excuse. And there's no reason for you not to get married to that individual. And there's a reason for you. There's a reason for you not to be with that individual, and that is because it's what they call haram. It's not permissible for you to be with that individual. And the harmful for you and your soul, then to be with that individual, and whatever way you be with them, you kissing them, hugging them, living with them, sleeping with them, whatever it is that you do, having sex with them, chilling with them, these things are not allowed in Islam. But in Islam, you ought to get married to an individual, and you take care of an individual. When a person gets married, a young man gets married, what happens is that it matures him. Because he takes care of himself when he's single, then he gets a wife, he's responsible for himself and his wife. When they have children, they're responsible for his wife, himself, his wife, and his children. Because it makes him more and more responsible and make him more and more mature. It should make him more and more in that area or towards that goal. And I have seen that happen, that young men who are by themselves, they're a little bit different. They're a little bit, they're a little bit wild and have no responsibility but just themselves. And then they get married, and then that changed. They're not as wild as much, and they got a wife they had to take care of. They had to work and clothe her and feed her and provide a house for her and all things you have to do in terms of a wife. And then they had children, even more responsibility take hold. And so I've seen that. I've seen a situation where, matter of fact, recently, where a child was scared to go on stage to perform in front of the people. And then the father had to take the child to the side, talk to the child, calm the child down, and then the child was able to get the boost that she needed to go on stage to perform before the people. So I saw the maturity in that in the individual and the responsible, how responsible the individual was, because he now had the responsibility of that child and of the wife and of any other children and other than just himself. So don't just get married just because they're mature as a person. Get married because it's illegally you could be with that individual. Again, there's nothing like marriage for two who loves one another. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your host, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.